Dr. Jan Love is the dean at the Candler School of Theology at Emory. And she says, the new beautiful city of God is not just about pie in the sky when we die, although we don't discount that promise. This vision is about that wonderfully delicious pie that we all crave right now on earth. A life that basks in God's presence now. A life that keeps God's commandment to love one another and mirrors God's glory every day. Doesn't that sound like Peggy? Ollie and I were talking one day about talking with people about the difficult times in their lives, and I said, do you know, Ollie, I can think of somebody who would call and say, I want to make an appointment to tell you how wonderful everything is. That would be Peggy Turner. She would do that. She mirrored God's glory. She lived in the New Jerusalem. The most radical blessing in John's vision of the New Jerusalem is that the heavenly city doesn't stay up there in heaven somewhere. It comes to us. God comes to make a home among us. That's how John said it. In other words, God has moved into the neighborhood. And this is powerful. Because when we're feeling anxious and we're fearful and we're hopeless, maybe we've read one of those dystopian novels, our dreams for that future life with God break right into our present. And we're assured that good overcomes evil and love overcomes hate. Hope overcomes our despair and life overcomes death. Here and now, as well as in eternity. Yesterday, I talked to my sister, and she told me a crazy story about my nephew, who's 17, and he went kayaking with some buddies of his. You know, when you go kayaking, you put in up here, and you go down, and then you've got to find a way to get back up here to your car. They had done that, and they met some other young boys who needed a ride back up there to get to their car. Well, one of these boys, we found out his name is Big John. Big John stole Andrew, my nephew's, wallet. So then the story got crazy. Through all these twists and turns, well, first of all, let me say that my nephew received a great invitation to go to Prague this summer, and he was leaving 2 days later, so he needed that driver's license to get on that plane, and it had his $120 in it, so he wanted his wallet back. So through all these twists and turns, the high school football coach in this small town, some college baseball player, Big John's mama, and the sheriff all got involved. Needless to say, Big John's mama convinced Big John to give the wallet back. And my sister said she just wanted to wring his neck for doing this, for giving these strangers a ride. But isn't that the kind of world that we want to live in? Weren't they just living like they believed God's promises of helping the stranger, loving the needy? Isn't that what a person living in the New Jerusalem would do? My ethics professor in seminary was named Stanley Hauerwas, and he told us that If we don't live in ways that are different from the world's violence and greed and fear, how will the world ever know there's another way to live? When I studied this book of Revelation with my congregation at Southminster Presbyterian, where I served a few years ago, we wondered a lot, why is this in our canon? And why is it at the capstone? That gives it so much power to be right there at the end. And I believe that it is because the New Jerusalem vision is a chorus of God's promises to do a new thing, to create a new heaven and new earth, to renew us, to restore us. Martin Luther King Jr. appealed to this vision in his I See the Promised Land speech. He said, "It's all right to talk about streets flowing with milk and honey, but God has commanded us to be concerned about the slums down here and his children who can't eat 3 square meals a day. It's all right to talk about the New Jerusalem, but one day God's preacher must talk about the new New York, the new Atlanta, the new Philadelphia, the new Los Angeles, the new Memphis, Tennessee. This is what we have to do." And I think this is what we do here at APC with Family Promise, Open Arms, the AA and PFLAG support groups that meet here, among others. These are all ways that we work for the new Alpharetta. As Ollie said yesterday at Art's Memorial Service, we work to put flesh and blood on this call to love God and love one another, to offer healing to a hurting world. And that's the message that I hear in this. God intends to heal. This is a vision not only for our future when death has passed and pain has ended, but also for our present. And we're invited to be part of that. This is our invitation to live as citizens of the New Jerusalem right now. Live into the beauty of all of these promises of God. These are the promises that we hear in the scripture: light, life, healing. We do see dimly now, there's no doubt about that. But we do see God's presence here in this community, in the font, in the table, in the word proclaimed. We see the promises of abundant life. Many of you knew Joe Clifford here. I knew Joe in Dallas, and my husband reminded me about a story that he told. When he was at Columbia Seminary, one day a man who was working there as a janitor came up to him and asked him what he was studying. And Joe said, "Revelation." And the janitor said, "I don't think I know much about Revelation, but what I do know is that in the end, God wins." And I would add to that, not just in the end, but right now. Thanks be to God. Amen.